at 6:23. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A former Richardson ISD school board member has sued the district. David Tyson Jr. alleges the district's at-large system violates the Voting Rights Act by denying, quote, fair representation of African Americans and other non-white voters, end quote. The lawsuit claims that given the district's demographics, a person of color should be on the school board. Currently, the entire board is white. The suit also says that the current at-large system discourages minority or minority-preferred candidates from seeking office. Richardson ISD officials released a statement saying it had not been served with the lawsuit and that it does not comment publicly on pending litigation. Tyson served as a Richardson ISD trustee from 2004 to 2010. William Jordan turned SMU's Meadows Museum into one of the world's great collections of Spanish art. He went on to build and influence collections elsewhere, from the Kimball Museum in Fort Worth to the Prado in Spain. Jordan died this week at 77. KERA contributor Quinn Matthews has this remembrance of a remarkable authority on art.
El filántropo, mecenas e historiador. The philanthropist, patron, and historian reads the story in Spain's newspaper El País as word spread that Bill Jordan had died. He was an art superstar, a scholar who wrote books, organized exhibitions, and built collections, the first in Dallas in 1967.
When I was very young, just having finished my doctorate at New York University, I was approached about being the director of the Meadows Museum, and I had never heard of it. I came to Dallas to look into it and was amazed that it was not very good. Finally, both the university and Mr. Meadows reached the same conclusion and agreed that they would like to start over with the museum. And they offered me the job, and I took it to essentially begin from scratch, building a collection of Spanish pictures that would live up to the expectations Mr. Meadows had originally when he thought that's what he was doing several years before.
After 14 years, Jordan became deputy director of the Kimball Museum, where we filmed this interview in 2007.
I went from what had been one dream job to another one, and to be able to build an institution, really an institution that had never put on or organized exhibitions of its own up until that point. We began doing that in a big way, and we began an aggressive acquisitions campaign to rebuild and expand the collection. Finally, in 1990, at the age of 50, I decided to follow my father's example, who had retired at the age of 49, and I've been having the third time of my life ever since. I have published my most important books, done my most important exhibitions at institutions like the National Gallery of London and the Museo del Prado and the Patrimonio Nacional in Madrid.
Jordan was a trustee of the Nasher Foundation, the Dallas Museum of Art, and Donald Judd's Chinati Foundation in Marfa. A collector of modern and contemporary art, he nonetheless held some art making in disdain.
Well, there's a lot wrong about art now. I mean, so much of the art today is silly. It's hard to find art, I think, of very great quality today, but it does exist.
In 1988, Bill Jordan, the art detective, purchased a work of rare quality. As he suspected, and years later it was confirmed, it was by Spanish master Diego Velázquez. Jordan donated it to the Prado, a fitting act of generosity from a man who came to Dallas over 50 years ago and built a lasting connection to Spanish art. For KERA News, I'm Quinn Matthews.
You can see a video of Jordan by filmmaker Quinn Matthews at artandseek.org. The arts funding group TACA handed out its annual grants at an elegant cocktail party this week. But the 41 theaters, orchestras, and dance troupes picking up their checks found them smaller this year. The total amount TACA gave away plunged more than 40% from last year. Wolford McHugh is the president and executive director of TACA. He talked to KERI's Ann Bothwell about what happened and one idea to fix it.
Wolford McHugh, welcome to KERA.
Thank you, Anne.
The last 2 years, you've given away $1.3 million for operating grants, and this year it's $700,000. So what happened?
Well, the last 3 years, we haven't really raised the money that we distributed. We had a surplus fund from a number of years ago that we drew upon, and so that really helped with a gap. And then secondly, the last 3 years, we realized we were going to be short, and we went back and banged on the doors of contributors, and we realized that's not a model that really is sustainable.
TACA has been around for 50 years, and you have some groups that really rely year after year on your funding. When and how did they hear that this year they were likely going to be getting less?
Sure. The last couple months of the year, when we were doing projections, it became evident that there was going to be a gap. I sat down with the executive directors of all the organizations in small meetings, and it was as much to help them understand why, but also to give them the heads up, because while our grants are not guaranteed from year to year, there is some expectation. And so I wanted to give them as fair a warning as possible.
What's the reaction, Ben?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that we've been around for 50 years. The reality of it is we have been working with a business model that we really haven't changed a whole lot in 50 years. And it caught up with us. And whether you're a business or you're a governmental body or a not-for-profit organization, if you aren't paying attention to external forces and responding to them, you're going to pay a price.
What were those external forces?
Our organization has been heavily dependent on raising money through events. And when we started 50 years ago, the number of events and the competition in this community is very different than today. Raising money through events is not the most cost-effective way to do it.
What are some of the new approaches you're going to take to make
money? Well, we're
going to
reduce the number of events that we annually have from 3 to 2. And then rather than go to corporations and ask them for more dollars to support the arts, we recognize that if we did that, we would only be competing against the organizations that we fund. So we've developed a program with corporations where we're helping solve a business problem. The corporations are having a challenge in retaining millennial age employees. So we're piloting a program that started September where corporations identify millennial age employees that they want to keep around, and we take them through a 9-month program of exposing them to different aspects of the arts to emotionally connect them to the community. And from our standpoint, we realize revenue because the corporations are paying a fee for each one of those people, but we aren't disturbing the money that our organizations get from sponsorships. At the same time, we're developing relationships with young people and giving them a perspective of the arts that we think that will have an impact long term.
That's kind of helping both your organization, but also the organizations that you serve who are all looking to attract millennials in their audiences.
That's right. And one of the things that when you study millennials that they are very interested in is to be very involved in the community in a meaningful way. And that last clause is really important. They don't want to come in and stuff envelopes for a fundraiser. We've asked our organizations to identify small projects where they need help. It may be the development of a new financial plan or helping them develop a marketing strategy. And we've matched those needs of our organizations up with the talent of the corporate employees in TACA 360. The millennial employees are doing something that's really, really meaningful and helpful. And our organization, it helps them with capacity building.
Wolford McHugh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Anne.
Mostly cloudy skies and storm for us this evening. Should be an 80% chance for showers tonight, a low around 54. Tomorrow, cloudy, a 60% chance of rain with a high around 64. It's 6:33. This is KERA News.